Next on BYUSN, an A-plus performance for an A-level win. BYU men's hoops beats Iowa State again, channeling Marriott Center magic. What does the win over the sixth-ranked Cyclones mean for BYU's March resume? And what's the bigger deal from Saturday's victory? A.J. DeBonce's near triple-double or the contributions from the other guys? We discuss.
Men's hoops assistant coach Tim Fanning joins the show to discuss what he liked most from his defense in the win and look ahead to UCF. And Delaney Gibb and Lotta Rokel of women's basketball in studio to recap Saturday's win at Utah, an amazing game from Delaney Gibb in the final week of the regular season.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Doesn't a winning Monday feel great? I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who enjoyed several wins over the weekend, Jerome Jordan.
Oh, come on, man. It was amazing. BYU beating Iowa State, Delaney Gibb going off against the Utes in a win. And then, of course, Team USA Hockey and our boy Jack Hughes taking a stick in the teeth for America.
Oh, yeah.
And then getting the game-winning goal in overtime against Canada. I mean, what a weekend of emotion and sports. And Johnny Hockey and his kids out there with the jersey, with the sweater. I mean, come on. It was beautiful. The closing ceremonies were great. I thought that was fun. Think about it. The next Winter Olympics are in the French Alps, and then Salt Lake is hosting after that in 2034. I mean, that'll be here before you know it, man.
I cried several times yesterday. Happy tears. Watching the post celebration of what that meant for USA Hockey.
Oh, and what a moment in USA sports history. That was awesome.
Yeah,
like shades of like Donovan Landon, Algeria goal. Like you'll remember where you were when that happened. That
was incredible cool stuff. If you needed any reason to rise and shout, you have it. Let's get to what's trending. Number 23 BYU men's basketball, moving up the rankings perhaps? After beating number 6 Iowa State 79-69, 10-point home win on Saturday night, and BYU finally gets that elusive quad 1A win for their NCAA tournament resume. After the game, I spoke with BYU head coach Kevin Young about the victory over the Cyclones.
I think that was our most complete game, you know, 40 minutes of execution. I thought, you know, we've had 37 minutes, sometimes even 38, but you got to put a full game together. You know, every night in our league is just so hard, you know, and so it's hard to win. It's hard to win, and you got to stay tough and stay with it. And, you know, our guys did that. Obviously, timely shot making definitely helps, but just a complete game from top to bottom.
Jerome, what does this win, finally, quad 1A win, mean for BYU's resume in March?
We talked about the sort of graduation from belief to knowledge a little. It was like a faith-based conversation Friday.
That's now you know.
Now BYU knows. They did it, right? They beat a top 10 team. And let's walk through some of the notables here. First quad 1A win, as you mentioned. First ranked Big 12 win. First top 10 win at home since Gonzaga 2020. And oh, by the way, BYU has won 4 or 5 against Iowa State. They were ranked, and so was BYU. In all 5 of those matchups, BYU really good against Iowa State. And, 5-1 since joining the Big 12, so 5-6. 4-1, excuse me. 3 top 10 wins. Notably, at the start of the day Saturday, the committee said, here are the top 16 seeds. They put Iowa State at 4. BYU just beat a 1 seed as of Saturday. They'd probably drop to 2, I assume, after the loss. But BYU beat a 1 seed quality type team. Are you kidding me? That's a Sweet 16 type game. That's an Elite 8 type game. Granted, it was in Provo. That helped a lot. But that was a big game, and BYU finally got over the hump. They got that quad 1A win. They can now secure, if they continue to win, at least a 6. I think they still have a shot at a 5. If they go on a heater, maybe a 4. Like, the whole they're going to slide to a 7, 8, 9, 10 idea. I think confidence has been restored for certain doubters, although I don't really care whether you doubt, because BYU is the best player in the country in A.J. DeBonce. I know there's an argument with Cam Boozer and others. Darren Peterson's not in that convo. He is for top 3 pick, but he's not in the National Player of the Year convo like A.J. DeBonce. That was great to see that BYU did what they did Saturday, and they needed it.
In a vacuum right now for the resume, it secures BYU as a clear number six seed. I'll be interested to see what Joe Lunardi does in his latest bracketology in the overall ranking and how much a win over Iowa State helps BYU if they go from number 23 to number 21. Again, it's just one game, but it was BYU's best win of the season, and belief becomes knowledge. We said it. If BYU can beat Iowa State and finally get over the hump, who's to say they can't win out and win five in a row to close the season?
Yep.
If BYU does that, now you're a five seed and maybe flirting with a four seed depending on what you do in Kansas City. And star power matters. All eyes on A.J. DeBonsa. I think the nation wants BYU to be good because they want A.J. to be in the brightest spotlight.
I think that's important for the committee, too. Like, star power, you do this, you do that. Funny tweets that we saw as well over the weekend at Chad Settle, Iowa State fan. Worst Marriott ever. 0 out of 5 stars. Do not recommend. Hashtag Cyclones. Get your Gideon Bible and the Book of Mormon in the shelves.
What is this? Room service!
This room service text. At Cyclone Larry, BYU's our kryptonite. It's true. BYU has dominated Iowa State. And ranked matchups in every single one of the last five. That's crazy.
Now, this is the most dominant team that Iowa State has had that BYU has beaten of the notable wins. I know BYU
because highest ranked?
Highest ranked. When have they been a projected number one seed in late February?
Typically, no. Typically, they're in kind of the 2 to 3 conversation when they're top 10. That was unique. I was surprised. If I was Houston, I was going, excuse me? Why are we not the one there? So, there you go.
I mean, Iowa State literally
won,
beat Houston.
And that's probably why. But I would have Houston over Iowa State, personally.
It's a team that ran Kansas out of the gym and then beat Houston on Big Monday.
They were hot in BYU. We were like, big win, let down, or are they too much for BYU? BYU answered the call, which is great. So what was a bigger deal? A.J. DeBonsa's near triple-double, or, as we phrased it Friday and Saturday on the postgame, the other guys, that didn't go how you thought it would, did it? Stepping up.
I don't want to diminish what the best college basketball player in America did in the least. He played every single minute.
That's impressive.
And if some guys hit a few more three-pointers, speaking of the other guys, he's got another triple-double against Iowa State in a quad 1A
win.
Great
defense.
That said, BYU does not win this game without the other guys. They had to have 17 points from Kennard Davis. Huge 13-point performance from Mihailo Boskovic. He hit a big three early and hit a massive three late. And how about the force that Kay Bakeda and Hadeem Boop played with around the rim, especially cleaning up the glass? It felt like Kaba was back. And Hadeem always brings the energy, but Kaba matched that energy. BYU needed to have it. Iowa State is such a physical, dominant presence team inside. BYU's bigs and the other guys, they made it so BYU dominated points in the paint, not just the glass. It was incredible. So in no way am I trying to say that what AJ did wasn't absolutely remarkable. But if the other guys don't play as well as they did, then BYU does not win this game. And we're talking again about, wow, AJ was spectacular, but BYU fell short. Close, but they fell short again. Those guys had to be great for BYU to win this game, so I'm giving them the edge.
I agree. And if we're going to summon the other guy's movie here and liken it unto ourselves, quote, we've talked to ourselves, BYU did. We've communicated and said, you know what? Cyclones taste good. Let's get some more Cyclone. We've developed a system to establish a beachhead and aggressively hunt you. That's what BYU did with Iowa State, and they've done it in 4 of the last 5, Spence. It was great to have Kennard with 17, tied for second most points he's had. Mihailo Boskovic equaled Josh Jefferson, who is a top 10 college basketball player and will be an NBA draft pick. His points at 13, career high for Mihailo. That was great. Josh Jefferson did other things, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. That's what he does. But Kay Bakeda, like you said, 9 and 6. Hadeem Boop was awesome. 9 rebounds in the first half. BYU's up by 9. That's not a coincidence. 5 points as well. He brings great juice. Fan favorite in the Rock.
Those two combined to shoot 6 of 7, Kaba and Hadeem Boop.
That's what you need at the rim.
6 of 7.
Don't. That's what BYU needs. But let's do talk about AJ's awesomeness, though. 29 points. 10 of 17. 2 of 4 from 3. 10 boards.
Poor Nate Heise trying to guard A.J. DeBonson.
Nate Heise's family had a great week. It was okay. Whew. They're going to be fine. Sister Taylor won the gold with USA Hockey.
Yeah.
Great, great week.
Poor everybody trying to guard A.J. They don't have anybody that can guard A.J. DeBonson. They don't.
Who does on any team? I mean, only two turnovers. But the defense from A.J. DeBonson on Momchilovic, who goes, what, 5 points, 1 for 5? He made 1 3-pointer.
Set the tone for
the game. This is the first play for Iowa State. Blocks that shot, and that set the tone. And then he's wheeling down the lane. He's scooping up and in. Whoop. This and one was put that on the mixtape for the season. That was great. Gets helped up there. That was awesome, man. AJ is as good as advertised. He continues to deliver, but he took it up a notch on defense, which I thought was amazing.
9 assists and only 2 turnovers. Can we just focus a little bit more attention on that from AJ? 9 assists and 2 with how much he had the ball in his hands against Iowa State, a team that thrives off of turning teams over, and they're so pesky. Taman Lipsey's so good, creates so much havoc. AJ had the ball in his hands.
Leader.
So much usage rate off the charts, played all 40 minutes. He had 2 turnovers. Unbelievable performance.
Only 2 BYU players had assists. It was Rob and AJ. A lot of wide open threes. Thought we'd get a little more out of that dunk, I'll be honest. But you talked to AJ about it after the game.
I asked him offline. I said, tell me you didn't think about doing something crazy right there. He's like, oh, I did. I thought I was going to do like a cradle windmill or something spin. But he's like, understanding the situation of the game, the timing, how important this is, I thought, nah, I probably should just do this.
When he slowed down, I thought that the whistle blew and the play was dead. I was like, oh, we just looked back.
The awareness of AJ, though, in that moment to like contemplate all of that shows his maturity. I love that. I know it's kind of a funny thing that we're laughing about now, but like, he's an incredibly mature player.
And he just wants to win. If that requires a triple-double against Iowa State, so be it. If it requires him to go for 43 against Utah, so be it. He just wants to win. And whatever that looks like, if it's play great defense, then let's do that.
That takes us to our next topic, because AJ brought the heat early to set the defensive tone. The Cougars, as a team, played one of their best defensive games of the entire season.
Yep.
Kevin Young spoke about specifically that defensive effort.
I mean, look, we held Jefferson and Momchilovic to 5 of 18, you know. I thought A.J. DeBonson's defense on Momchilovic was, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing his name.
Momchilovic.
But, he was 1 of 5, and A.J. was all over him and played the whole game and almost had a triple-double. I thought his defense on him was phenomenal. Thought the combination of Mihailo, Hadeem, Kaba doing a good job on Jefferson as well. It was just a team effort on that end of the floor.
Jerem, fill in the blank. That was BYU's best defensive performance as a team since?
I would argue all year, because it was a top 10 team. It's number 6. They're a 1 seed. I mean, when was it better than that?
I was going to say maybe Wisconsin, but Wisconsin not on the level of Iowa State.
I think because of how good Iowa State is, I'm calling that the best defensive performance of the season. Not only what you do as a team, 1.0 points per possession, defensively was amazing, on offense 1.2 against those guys, incredible. It's that you literally have the best three-point shooter in America, Milan Momchilovic, who he's shooting 51% from three. He had 99 threes coming in. That was second in the country. 51 was number one. He only gets 5 shots off, Spence, and he scores 5 points. He's their leading scorer.
AJ.
A-plus for AJ. That was amazing. AJ will be as good as he wants to be on defense. It's just how much energy will he expend is the question. And if you notice, BYU used to kind of run like a 1-3-1 kind of trapping zone earlier in the year, Spence. They're not doing it as much, I think, because of injuries, and they have to sort of conserve the energy for offense, too. You play good enough defense, and you need to be that top 10 offense. If the defense can perform remotely close to what they did on Saturday, that's how BYU is going to win. We have no questions about sort of the productivity of BYU. I still think it was too sticky on offense. Two kind of just one guy waiting for something to happen, getting down under 10 on the shot clock. I don't think that's by design. I think the ball either needs to move or players need to move for screens a little quicker.
The hard part about that
they're still top 10 on offense, though.
Is Rob Wright III is a ball-dominant guard. And so that something's going to have to change there.
If
you don't want the ball to be as sticky.
No, I'm
for
saying
BYU.
Initiate the offense sooner in the shot clock. They're just kind of sitting there waiting for something to happen, and nothing's happening. I'm saying it feels like a fruitless first 15. Like, just get to it at, like, 15 okay. Instead of, like, 8.
Yes, and what
now
I'm saying is there's a lot of dribbling hurts that dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, move just, the ball just, early.
Well, or attack earlier. Like, just somebody or something has to move a little sooner. With that said, BYU scored 79, tied for fourth most that Iowa State's allowed all year. It was still really good offense. Like, when BYU shoots, typically they're getting baskets at a high clip. 1.2 is good.
Points in the paint, when you dominate that way, yeah, that certainly helps that number.
But defensively, that's where BYU is going to actually go to a Sweet 16 or actually go to an Elite Eight, is if BYU plays good enough defense. I do think, too, that because of no Dawson, no Richie, limited minutes with, Ahmed now, that Boop and Boskovic, who started back-to-back games for Richie, and now at the four, AJ can play the three instead of the four, that you look at it and you go, I'm not getting pulled. Like Kennard, I've got to score. I have to make shots. Kennard is, the last four, is averaging like 12 a game. He is inserting himself more. Mihailo was his best game of the year. Boop is saying, oh, I'm not trying to score. I just rebound and play defense.
It's a seven-player rotation.
They understand their roles. That's very important. Any group, business, sports, otherwise, when you understand your role and everybody functions in that, now you can really succeed. And I think BYU, now this is the high, right? Is this the average of what BYU is going to do every game? No. But they need to approximate that. And oh, by the way, UCF coming in Tuesday night, tied with BYU in the standings. This is a massive game. I don't think we appreciate or understand, just because they don't have like a number six there or a number three there or whatever, this is a huge game tomorrow night.
They're a team that's on the cusp of getting into the top 25 if they can beat a BYU team on the road.
Projected ninth seed.
It's a tournament team.
There's a tournament.
It's another NCAA tournament game.
Yes. Come on.
Our question of the day. So many great moments from Saturday night's win for BYU against Iowa State, but what was your favorite from BYU taking down the number six Cyclones? At Cougar Stats opens up things here for us, Jeremy.
The bench erupting onto the floor after the dunk by Davis. That was cool.
Special moment.
There was a certain amount of happiness that occurred with this team that I don't think we've seen. You mentioned it, and I agree, in our pre-show call of since MSG, since Rob Wright made that three. I think after this moment, the bench comes out. I think that's a rallying cry and a highlight they should be playing internally a lot. There's a lot of loving shoving.
I saw Kennard Davis smile for the first time, and I can't even remember. Like,
he has his game face on a lot.
Smile on his face in that moment, yeah, when everyone's dapping him up and Rob Wright's hyping him up and giving him all the love there as they go to the bench.
That was great. Like,
the Marriott Center is, I mean, the roof was blown off the place in those moments. And there were like three or four of those. So really fun to see that moment for a BYU team that has been in some low lows recently.
They're still in the aftershocks of Richie Saunders, the loss of Richie. I mean, this was awesome that the second game they were able to respond in this way.
I love this from @tallguy_Hackett. Says, when A.J. DiBonta made his Michael Jordan-esque layup,
nice,
jumping from the free throw line.
91 finals, Lakers, yep.
Weaving the ball between defenders while in the air, a thing of beauty. Go Cougs. Our friend Sean Farnham let out a little giggle when this happened.
That was sweet. That was sweet. Michael's was, unnecessarily up left, and whoop, no one's there. And he's like, I'll just change the ring. That was cool.
You're right. Go in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Tell us your favorite moment from BYU's best win of the season, taking down then number six Iowa State. The AP poll set to come out, I believe, in about 40 minutes.
I don't imagine BYU move up that much. Maybe one or two spots.
One or two spots, yeah. Yeah. All right, let's pick up the tempo as we get to the hurry-up drill. Jerem, take it away.
More impressive win in the Big 12 this weekend. Arizona winning at Houston in a top four matchup, or Cincinnati winning at Kansas.
I know Kansas got run by Cincinnati. Arizona won at Houston. At Houston. Okay, it's not winning in Tucson at the McHale Center. Like, they go on the road and get that win. Arizona had an unbelievable week. That, to me, clearly the best win.
I agree. No co-compete still, and you do that? That was amazing. Arizona, to me, should be the number two team today when the poll comes out. Put Duke at number one.
There you go. All right, next question. Where do you expect BYU to land in today's AP poll? You hinted at it just a moment ago.
23 to 21 or 22. You had a couple of splits above them with Arkansas, that crazy one at Alabama. They lost. They're 20. Louisville at 21 split. Miami still undefeated at 22. So give me, one or two spots?
Yeah, I think number 21, yeah. Probably.
Sure. Doesn't really matter to me.
I don't think it merits that much more.
Nets 20 today. That's what matters the most to me.
Okay.
And last but not least, Lainey Gibb went off for 37, a new career high at Utah. Her career high was 36 at Utah last year. What does BYU need to do to get back on the bubble?
It's going to be a big ask. BYU has to win against a very good Arizona State team who is projected to be in the field right now, and they're going to have to win in Tempe. Then BYU is going to have to come home and take on a team in the Big 12 that's playing as good as anybody, Colorado, who just ran BYU by 30 in Boulder. So
avenge that one. We'll
talk about a big week, win at Arizona State, beat Colorado at home, and then BYU is squarely back on the bubble.
All right. Number 23, BYU men's basketball, as mentioned. Big game against UCF. I know BYU's played a bunch of top 10 teams at home and whatnot. This is as important as those ones because they are tied in the standings. Tomorrow night, pregame coverage on BYU TV and BYU Radio at 10 Eastern time.
After the break, BYU men's basketball assistant coach Tim Fanning joins us to discuss what the win over Iowa State means for that locker room and how do they take this model of a big win and make sure it happens against UCF again. That said, before we go to break, we would like to take a moment to address, frankly, some unfortunate and very sad news over the weekend that affects the BYU men's volleyball community.
Yeah, Spencer, the father of Taylor and Brendan Sander, Steve Sander, passed away Friday. Steve was a big supporter of his sons who combined to play 8 straight years of high-level volleyball at BYU, combining to go to 5 NCAA tournaments. They were amazing. Personally, I really enjoyed getting to know Steve and his family. In 2013, I visited Huntington Beach to go see BYU play for the national championship. Stayed with Sanders at their house. Steve and I went and played beach volleyball. He bought an outfit for my daughter, Venna, who was going to be born just a couple of weeks later. During the COVID Olympics, Taylor was playing for Team USA. And, you know, parents couldn't go over there and watch it. So we watched a match at his house. And I've been talking to him for years. Just tragic news to hear that Steve passed away on Friday. Some sweet memories for sure with him. Our thoughts are with his wife, Kara. Children Brittany, Taylor, Brennan, and the whole family. Steve Sander, gone too soon.
I mean, we beat the number 16. That counts out for something.
And a foul. Wow, Tato. Up high off the glass. One step and a jump. AJ. Davis.
10-point win for BYU. They needed it.
We are live in Studio B. It is a winning Monday. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And joining us now to celebrate the winning Monday after BYU's monumental win over then number 6 Iowa State is BYU men's basketball assistant coach Tim Fanning. Tim, greetings to you, good sir.
What's up, Tim?
Happy to be here, guys.
Happy is the operative word there, right?
Yep.
I mean, we talked about it before the game. You said we feel like we're right there.
Yep.
Like we are so close to the breakthrough, and then it happened. So in your mind, what was different about this game that allowed for the breakthrough and a huge win?
Yeah. I mean, I think this game we did it for 40 minutes. You know, I mean, I think on both ends of the ball, we were very focused and engaged for 40 minutes. And, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to simple things, right? We didn't turn the ball over against those guys and their team that, like, you know, Iowa State, in their wins, they get 21 points off turnovers. In their losses, they get only 9. We took care of the basketball, and then we kept them off the glass for 40 minutes. Like, you know, usually there's a stretch in the game. They had that one sequence where they got 2 or 3 offensive rebounds and hit a 3, but it was really just that one sequence. Outside of that, like, we were excellent on the glass against a team that really prides themselves on basically beating you on the glass. And so I thought that, you know, those two areas, just taking care of the basketball and rebounding the basketball, were fundamental for us to have a great game. And, you know, if you look at the close losses that we had, you know, against Arizona, there was a moment in the game early where they kind of found a little bit of a lead, you know, from points off turnovers. And then Houston late in the game, where it was just a couple second chance points,
Yeah.
To get a small margin. And, you know, we're going against the best teams in the country. And we feel like we're one of those teams. And in those types of games, the margins are very, very small. And so I do think that as a group, we're trending in the right direction in terms of just having that understanding that every single play, you have to be fully engaged to try to do whatever is needed to get a stop or get a score. And I think we did that on Saturday night against a great Iowa State team.
What led to that engagement? Because it felt like the team was super dialed in on the game plan and executed great.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of factors. I think that, you know, as a team, I think we feel like we have been getting better. you know, that's something KY talks about every day, and we try to focus on every day as a staff of just like, as much as everything is happening, we need to win this game. We got to keep getting better to arrive to March playing our best basketball. And that's something that we did last year. That's something that we're focusing on every day this year. And so I do think it was a little bit of a matter of time before we had that kind of breakthrough and were able to put together a more complete game, which we saw on Saturday.
There was so much joy at specific moments on the bench. And I know that winning obviously plays a role in that, but it just felt like the guys were enjoying the game.
Yeah.
Maybe you felt that, and if so, why do you think that was?
Well, I mean, players want to play well, and I think the guys, you know, were excited for that opportunity, and when they did play well, and they were happy for their teammates. But I think that we have a good locker room. We do have good chemistry, and I think that we have great individuals in our locker room that do have an element of joy for their teammates. So, like, to see a guy like Mihailo that's had ups and downs, you know, start the game with the made three-pointer. You know what I mean? That gets the group excited. You see Hadeem come in. He has 8 defensive rebounds in the first half. You know, and we see that every day in practice. So then you see that, you know, transpire on a national stage against one of the top teams in the country. That gets, you know, that gets the team excited in a very genuine way. And so I think that, you know, it was a result of that and just a result of the day-to-day work that we're putting in. And, you know, and that's something that Coach KY talks about is, like, playing with joy and playing with gratitude. And so those are things that we've been talking about, despite the fact that we haven't had the results that we've wanted maybe this last whatever stretch. Those are things that we've been working on in the background. I do think those things are now starting to come to the surface.
Kevin said after the game, A.J. DeBunce can do anything he wants on a basketball court.
Yeah.
He gets nearly a triple-double, and he probably could have had 15 assists, you know, if a few more threes are made. It was crazy. Is there anything at this point that surprises you when you watch A.J. play? Because you see him every day, but this guy's on another level, man.
No, I mean, A.J. brings it, and A.J. is an ultimate competitor. And I think, you know, he's really starting to learn, one, how good of a defender he can be and how important playing great defense is to winning. And so I think that those are things that are starting to come together for him and for our group. But, yeah, the dude's, you know, an unbelievable basketball player and an unbelievable person. He's a really good teammate. You know what I mean? You said it, you know, he could have had 15 assists just the way that, you know, teams have been collapsing on him. And just his ability to adjust, that's something that, like, has constantly surprised me in a good way about AJ is, like, he's a student of the game. He's not, like, he wants to watch film. He wants to get better. He wants to understand how to be more efficient. And, you know, I think Saturday he was, you know, the head of the snake of a really good performance from us.
Coach, you're essentially the defensive coordinator, and it felt like AJ's defense on Momchilovic really set the tone with that early block shot. So let's just go ahead and start there with AJ's performance against one of the elite shooters in college basketball and how that transpired through the rest of the game.
Yeah, I mean, he was tasked with, you know, guarding their leading scorer, a guy that lives behind the three-point line in a variety of ways. And so, like, you know, the level of attention that was needed on him was something that we prioritized, and AJ was the guy that kind of, you know, was tasked with that responsibility, and obviously he responded wonderfully. And that's something that we've, you know, constantly, I would say, I don't want to say battled, but discussed internally. Is like, okay, he is, you know, an elite defender, but he has to do so much on offense. Like, you know, how much do you want to put on his plate? And I think now it's, you know, it's go time, and I think AJ's also understanding that, like, you know, I can do it. I can do it on both ends. And I think that he saw that and he did that on Saturday.
And he played 40 minutes. I mean, it's crazy. Earlier in the season, there was more kind of trapping your midcourt and that kind of thing. Do you have to sort of preserve the energy on offense for some of these guys, given that the rotation has been trimmed due to injuries?
Yeah, I think there's some subtle things that we're doing defensively that we have that in mind. I don't want to say too much because if I'm Central Florida and they're probably somewhere in Provo, they might be watching this. But, yeah, you know, we definitely have those things in mind as it comes to, like, you know, number of guys in rotation and when we're asking our guys to, you know, exert more energy and when we're asking them just to be solid. But I think at the end of the day, the simple things are what is going to help us get there. And it's like it comes down to rebounding and taking care of the basketball. And we did that at an elite level on Saturday, and I think that's a recipe for a great finish to the season.
You mentioned the other things that the other guys needed to do. And by other guys, I mean Kennard Davis, Gabe Ikeda, Mihailo Boskovic, Hadeem Boop. All of those names have been mentioned. And they all seem to play a very balanced effort on Saturday night. So I guess my question is, what's the key to replicating something like that as this team continues to evolve without Richie Saunders in the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's guys understanding how they can impact winning. And I think at this point, a guy like Mihailo, he knows. He's been here for 2 years. We've talked to him a lot about different things as it relates to, you know, his ability to impact the game on defense. Like, he had some great shifts, and his length bothers people. You know, you listen to Lipsy post game, and he's talking about, you know, man, it was tough because they have so much length in the gaps. You know what I mean? That's Mihailo. That's Hadeem. That's Moo. You know what I mean? These guys that are just like have incredible wingspans and incredible intuition on defense. Of them using that was important. And then, you know, those guys are like, every basketball player wants to play more, except for maybe AJ and Rob, because they played 40 minutes.
But they probably still want to play more.
They probably been happy. But anyways, every player wants to play more. You know what I mean? That's just the reality of a competitor. Every coach wants to win more. You know what I mean? That's just how we're wired. And so I think these guys, like, as much as Richie is irreplaceable and was like a complete shock to us as a team, there's guys that as competitors are like, okay, like I can contribute more. And so for us, the coaching staff, is a balance of getting everyone to understand, like, we're not going to replace Richie. It's not going to be you, or you. But exactly what we saw on Saturday of, like, you being a little bit better, you playing a little bit more. Now, all of a sudden, as a group, we're raising our level, and guys are more engaged on defensively and rebounding, and then, you know, you have the result that you had.
And the job on Jefferson was incredible. Boop was amazing. Boskovic with 13, equaling Jefferson.
Yep.
Kennard with 17. It was just good to see the other guys. We were actually quoting from the movie The Other Guys.
Okay.
Quite a bit on the post game because we thought it was such a great performance.
Yeah.
In comes UCF, projected tourney team.
Yep.
Good, long team too. Riley Kugel doesn't play against Utah, TBD whether he's playing tomorrow night.
Yep.
But Themis Folks is a guy that can go off, good assist guy.
Yep.
Top 35 offense. Defensively, yep. What's the... some things that are top of mind for you?
Yeah, I mean, they got a few guys that can really score, and they're really good at hunting mismatches, and they're really good playing one-on-one. I think not so dissimilar to some of the stuff we've seen throughout the year, especially from a team like Utah, where you got a guy like Terrence Brown that's like, he's coming downhill trying to score. You know, they got guys that are wired like that, and it's a team that we're tied with them in the conference.
No, I don't think people realize that.
Yeah,
this is a big game,
like,
that way.
You know, we're tied. That's what it is. We still have all the possibilities to finish out in the top three of the conference. There's kind of a logjam up there, so this is a massive game at home against a team that is, like, surprising everybody. So that we're definitely – our antennas are fully up. Mm. It's that type of game in the year where, you know, the standings are starting to get decided, and we're against a team that, you know, I think a lot of the guys on their roster are kind of haven't had the success in their career that they wanted. You know, there's a few guys on their roster that have kind of kicked around a little bit. And so I think they have a massive chip on their shoulder, and they play like that, and they've caught a lot of teams off guard and beat them. And so I think, you know, we're fully aware of the task at hand, and just super happy this game is at home.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the crowd.
They're real good.
That's the secret sauce right there.
It was unbelievable. It reminded me, you know, there was times in Israel, in the EuroLeague, at home and on the road, where the crowd dictated, you're not going to lose this game or you're not going to win this game. You know what I'm saying? Like, those times in Greece where we felt like you're playing Panathinaikos, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, crap. Like, you know what I mean?
There are four flares on that end.
You know what I'm saying? Or in Israel, it was, you know, on a good way. And it felt like that at certain moments on Saturday where, like, you know, the Rock was like, nah, enough is enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are at that level. We are at the level of Houston, Arizona, Iowa State. And so I think that's, we're super excited to be playing at home on Tuesday. And I hope, that they bring it with the same intensity, because it is that type of game, right? We're tied with these guys in the standings, playing the Big 12. This is a massive game. And sometimes you can get confused, like, oh, UCF after. Nah, it's not that. This is going to be a tough one.
The call has been issued to the Rock and the Marriott Center crowd to create some
magic. You
heard.
Nah. We're not losing. Let's go.
We're not losing. Yeah.
We're going to give you some more BYU Sports Nation karma to go and do your thing.
All right.
Okay? You come on the show, good things
good
happen
defense.
After.
Yeah. Let's One, go. Yeah. Great defense. 0 points per possession or fewer. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's keep it going.
Let's do it.
Thanks, Tim.
All right. Thanks, guys.
BYU Baseball, 3-3 on the season. In action tonight, UC Riverside. Make that this afternoon. 4 Eastern. Take it on UC Riverside. Listen to it on BYU Radio. Watch it on ESPN+.
After the break, some more notable results from across the Big 12 after a wild weekend. Plus, a career milestone for a big-time BYU head coach. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headline, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
In case you missed it, and this would be crazy, BYU, number 23 in the country, beat number 6 Iowa State 79-69 at the Marriott Center Saturday night. Now 20-7, 8-6 in the Big 12. A.J. DeBonta, a near triple-double, 29-10, 9 assists, all while playing 40 minutes. DeBonta named Dick Vitale's Diaper Dandy of the Week. Kennard Davis added 17 points. Mihailo Boskovic scored a career-high 13. Up next, BYU hosts UCF. They're both 8-6 in the league. Coming up tomorrow night.
Massive game ahead. Also on the Big 12 weekend scoreboard, number 4 Arizona wins at number 2 Houston, 73-66. Only Houston's second home loss since joining the Big 12.
Wow.
Cincy upsets number 8 Kansas. Run away with it by 16 at Allen Fieldhouse. The 16-point loss was the Jayhawks' biggest home setback to an unranked team since 1973. Number 13, Texas Tech, beat up on Kansas State 172 in their first game without JT Toppin. UCF hangs on to win at Utah 73-71. Again, the Knights in Provo tomorrow. Baylor erases a double-digit deficit to beat Arizona State 73-68. Colorado beats Oklahoma State by 14 in Boulder, and TCU gets the better of West Virginia 60-54.
Women's basketball won at Utah 86-74 Saturday, led by a career-high 37 points from Delaney Gibb, who we'll speak with in just a couple of minutes. Gibb scored 18 of her 37 in the fourth to help close out the game. With the win, BYU 18-10 overall, 7-9 in Big 12 play. They go to Tempe to play ASU on Wednesday.
Yegor Dioman, love the Brooklyn Nets guy, had 13 points, 4 assists in a Nets 115-104 loss to the Hawks yesterday. Dioman averaging 10.7 points a game, 3.3 assists, and 3.2 rebounds in his rookie campaign.
Number 7 men's volleyball picked up back-to-back sweeps over Fort Valley State and HBCU from Fort Valley, Georgia. With Saturday's win, head coach Sean Olmstead earned his 200th as the men's volleyball coach. Congratulations. BYU has won 8 straight, all in sweeps, by the way. Now 13-2 on the season. They added during their would-be bye week, Hawaii, Wednesday and Friday.
Hawaii!
This week, they are literally on their way right now there. Once they get there, they'll go right to the Stan Sheriff Center and have a practice.
Get a split, man.
Serve and pass. Yeah, get a split, exactly.
Number 23, gymnastics. Their second best team score of the season, 196.575 in their final home meet of the season against number 16 Denver, taking down the Pioneers. BYU scored a 49.550 on floor, highest event total of the season. Up next, BYU in Morgantown to compete against West Virginia on Friday. So the Gymcats in Morgantown on Friday, men's basketball team working their own mojo in Morgantown on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon. So that'll be great. Baseball splits 2 games to the Tony Gwynn Legacy Tournament, beating UC San Diego 9-7, losing to San Diego State 3-0. Bat-Cats 3-3 on the year. They're back in action today at UC Riverside, 4 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
BYU softball goes 1-2 in their final 3 games at the Mary Nutter Classic in Palm Springs this weekend. BYU beat Long Beach State 5-4 on Friday night before dropping contest against Auburn and number 23 Washington. Up next, BYU plays in the Judy Garman Classic in Fullerton, California, beginning Thursday.
Track and field competed at the Colorado Last Chance meet over the weekend. Notably, Sammy Oblad ran a time of 23.66 in the 200, good for 4th fastest time in BYU history. And Jonah Haymooley ran a 46.81 in the 400, good for 8th fastest in BYU history. Jonah is as fast as Hema is creative. Mm-hmm. Up next, the Big 12 Indoor Championships begin Friday.
BYU men's tennis improves to 9-0 to start the season after beating Idaho State 4-3 on Saturday, BYU's best start since the year 2000. And women's tennis goes 2-0 in home matches this weekend, beating Weber State 7-0 and Colorado State 6-1. The women are 11-1 season.
Come on, let's go. It's amazing.
Up next, as promised, Delaney Gibb, Lara Rocol of BYU women's basketball. Join us fresh off a season sweep against their arch nemesis, Utah. 37 points for Delaney. What is it about that gym? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Gibb finds Rocol for the finish. There's in a zone, and then there's what Delanie Gibb is doing right now. Another make! Unconscious in Salt Lake City! And the Cougars knock off the Utes for the second time this season.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Earlier today, Jeremy and I had a chance to speak with two of the heroes from BYU's big win, the women's basketball side against Utah on Saturday. Here is that conversation. Congratulations to both of you on an incredible road win at Utah.
Yeah, always winning at Utah, always awesome.
Yes, give it up. Start with an applause. Okay. Delanie, I don't know what's going on at the Huntsman Center, but you walked into the men's game on Saturday night and I said, hey, you feeling tired? You're like, man, I love that gym. Why do you love that gym so much?
I couldn't tell you, honestly. I don't know if it's the red. You know, I grew up a red person. I'm not sure what it is, but I feel like every time I'm in there, I love it. I love it. It's a great gym.
Lotta, what was it like to win at Utah and then watch Delanie go off?
It was amazing. I feel like the fans, like, screaming against us and saying stuff, like, fuels us even more. It was just, like, fun to see that and just use it for our advantage, I guess. And then also, like, D just, like, bawling out was amazing.
Do you shout back in German?
No, but I should. So no one would understand what I'm saying.
There might be a few return missionaries out there that might know what you're saying. At what point did you realize you were in the zone?
Honestly, I hit a step back, like, mid-range, and I haven't shot one of those all year. And after that went in, I was like, whoa. But, you know, still, I hadn't like, really hit a lot. And then coming into the second half, there was like, a moment where literally everything that I was throwing up was going in. And I was like, okay, I guess we'll roll with this. Like, I'm not unhappy about it. But, yeah, I couldn't pinpoint, like, a certain moment.
But it was all happening.
When the bank shot three went in.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, there's no way BYU's losing this game.
Good night. This is happening.
It is Delanie's day. What was the celebration like for you and your team after the win? Lotta, we'll start with you.
It was huge. We all were, like, super excited. It was a lot of emotions. And then we got to do a little water party for Deet. So, yeah.
I was soaked.
I asked you after the game. I was like, are you dry yet? Because it looked like they dumped every morsel of water they could find.
Yes, yes. No, I didn't expect that, honestly. I feel like since last year, my career high, we lost. I didn't know that that was necessarily a thing, that people throw water on you. And so, yeah, I was definitely soaked.
Congratulations. Now you're going to be doused with water. This is how it works. And a strange week, too. And this is life in the Big 12, right? It's a roller coaster. You lose a very frustrating game against Cincinnati. But then you go on the road and you beat Utah. So what did it mean for this team to bounce back the way that it did? And how will that help you pushing forward?
Yeah, I think it was really important to us. I feel like we've bounced back from every game very well so far this season, and it was nice for that to show, you know, in the aftermath of the game.
Especially on the road.
Especially on the road, yeah. That was kind of our first big road game that we were able to win. And I think it just goes to show, like, our focus in the practices beforehand and just our commitment to what our coaches are teaching us and our scout and executing all of that.
Lotta, as a fringe NCAA tournament team, final week of the regular season, how do you guys have a great week to try and put yourself in position to perhaps go to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, we're going to do our best. We have two more games. It's going to be tough ones, especially playing on the road against Arizona State, but I think it's doable. We won against them at home. We out-rebounded them. So I think if we take care of the ball, we can do it.
That's your specialty, so let's get after it, right?
Indeed, yeah. It is. You've seen Arizona State before, so what's the scouting report, if anything has changed at all, on getting a win there in Tempe?
I think, like, just playing our game, like, just playing as a team especially, just sharing the ball, because if we do that, we are so good and, like, not unstoppable, but, like, it's better for us. And then also, like, yeah, just rebounding and don't let anything, like, frustrate us. If, like, they make two in a row, okay, we just got to make the next two. So, yeah.
How are you managing the I got to dial in on Arizona State and then Colorado Big 12 tournament, glass court, cool, / we want to make the tourney. How do you manage all that right now?
Yeah, I think just trying not to focus on the pressure and expectations and outward opinions. Because really the only thing that matters is what's going on within our team. And so we're super young. We have, you know, a lot to grow and a lot to learn. But at the same time, we've shown that we can compete with every single team in this league. And so I think just focusing on, you know, the things that we do well, but also like honing in on what we can do better and what we can improve on, especially for this last week. And then hopefully we can get it rolling for the Big 12 tourney.
Lotta, this has been your one and only year in Provo. And I know first things first, you want to beat Arizona State, but there is a senior day that is on the horizon against Colorado. So what has your decision to come to BYU meant to you in your basketball career and personal life?
It meant everything. It just put me mentally in a better space coming here. That's why I chose this place, because of the people. And also, like, basketball-wise, I wanted to play at a Big 12 level, and I just wanted to do that. And I think we have done that this season, just, like, we had some good games, we had some tough games, but just, getting to experience this and also getting to experience the BYU fans, because, like, I don't know, people just love BYU, and it's amazing to, like, also see people come out to our away games. We, like, sometimes have more fans than the home team.
Love that.
It's just, like, amazing to, like, see that, and then, yeah, so.
Every game a home game. I love it. I love it. Where have you seen growth with this team, Delaney, so far this year, as you guys have been markedly improved?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, because we're so young, there's a lot of just like little things that honestly even fans may not even realize. One of the things that I think we've improved so well so far this season is just execution, especially on the defensive end. And I think that that's something that we can get even better at. But just really, you know, our coaches come up with a scout and they know what they're talking about, and just making sure that we're bought in on that and really focused and really executing everything that they're coaching us on.
Good luck to both of you. Final week of the regular season at Arizona State, then home to Colorado. We appreciate you being with us, and congratulations on sweeping the season series against Utah.
Thank you.
Great stuff from Delaney and Lotta. If you want to watch more BYU Sports Nation content like that, interviews, trending topics, Deep Blues, more throughout the week, subscribe to our BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel to watch on demand anytime.
What was your favorite moment from BYU basketball's win over Iowa State on Saturday night? Plus, did we nail our completely random predictions for Saturday's game? This is BYU Sports Nation.
You know it.
You remember them?
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. It is time for a recap of our completely random predictions. On Friday, we each made one random prediction for the BYU-Iowa State game. So, Jerem, if you remember it.
I don't. So
did you get
right
it?
Here. BYU will be in the bonus in the first half prior to at least 6-12 left in the half. They were not.
Oh.
They were at 239. So I missed that one.
A lot of fouls early by Iowa State, but then long, yeah, delay.
Didn't happen.
Put you behind the eight ball.
Dang it.
0-1. All right, I said BYU will have at least 10 bench points prior to 5 minutes left in the second half. We were like, man, I hope they do, or they're going to lose the game. BYU ended the game with 5 total bench points. 5!
All from Boop. They got 30 from Davison Boskovich.
Didn't BYU only play 7 guys? So the bench consists of like 2 players now, Kostich and Boop.
I think Beto got in for a little bit.
Oh, that's right. Beto did get in for a minute. Okay, so the largely a 7-man rotation.
And Kostich played.
Our question of the day: what was your favorite moment from BYU's win over 6th-ranked Iowa State on Saturday? Our Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory. From @CL_living, who says, this picture says it all. Richie Saunders hugging Kay Bakeda, who is wearing a headband with number 15 written on the back.
That's cool. They really respect each other. That's awesome.
Mike, shout out to Richie, too, for brushing off my shoulders during the post.
I know, that was funny. He was like,
I was like, who's helping me out? It was Richie. It was Richie.
Yeah.
Today's Rising Shout Out presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Sean Olmstead, career win number 200 for BYU men's volleyball. And congratulations to former Cougar Chris Collinsworth, who coached Provo, his alma mater, to the state title, playing that Bulldog defense.
Let's go. Our thanks to today's guests, Tim Fanning, Delaney Gibb, and Lara Rocco.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Landon Magnuson. We'll see you tomorrow on game day for BYU men's hoops as they take on UCF. Go Cougs!